CS and Game of Wax, a few minutes past 2 p.m. Linda Ronstadt. Man, she was great. So good.
Now, is she the one who, like, lost her voice?
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
How sad. Is she still with us?
Yeah. I think so. I hate that I don't know, but I think she is. I think it would have clocked it if she passed away.
Oh, yeah, she's still around. She is 79 years old, and her birthday, July 15th.
Oh, speaking of birthdays, we have a birthday today. Michael S. Kelly.
What?
Oh, yeah. He has the same birthday as my mom. Happy
hey,
birthday,
MSK.
Michael.
And Rachel's mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Rachel's mom.
Should we go back to the time where we just refer to all of our friends' moms as Dave's mom, Rachel's mom, as opposed
Mrs.
to their names?
Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's John's mom.
We had to do the mister.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't do that, like, when, I mean, we kind of did a little bit, like, talking to them.
Yeah.
You're like, Mr. Jones.
Yeah.
But, like, about them? Nah, we were.
Man, a couple months ago, one of my friend's fathers commented on the stream, and I said his first name, like, not fully clocking what was going on. And then I had to text her later. I'm like, I felt so disrespectful because I always called him Mr.
Yeah.
My whole life, and I would in person still.
Yeah. Kev, tell me about the drones they're using out west.
Yeah, so I saw this story yesterday. I think this is really interesting. I saw the story yesterday that the police department in O'Fallon, Missouri, is one of the first in Missouri, maybe one of the first in the country, but definitely one of the first, if not the first in Missouri, to use a drone as a first responder. So whenever they get a report of something, car accident, maybe just some kind of incident, they send a drone and it gets there so much faster than a car could.
Yeah.
So they have eyes on whatever the scene is. And the way the spokesman put it was sometimes in less than a minute, they have eyes on the scene. So you could have a visual of an accident on the highway or a visual of some fight happening. So whatever it happens to be. And I find that to be such an interesting, fascinating thing. And something that you would think would be a pretty good idea in a bigger city like St. Louis, too. And yeah. I know it's like early, right? These things are just being rolled out. I don't know that I would call this a test case, but it's certainly an early deployment. They're one of the first to do it. And I feel like that's a pretty smart way to use technology. It can eliminate, in a lot of cases, you know, long car chases because you can kind of follow from above at a distance and not really set off alarms. And then maybe do a better job of it not continuing, but also can convey the urgency of a situation too, right?
Sure.
So if that drone can be there in a minute or two where it might take a police officer who's on the other side of town because you have to drive through roads instead of the sky,
yeah.
That if it cuts that time to the point where you know what's going on and you maybe have a little more information when you're getting there, I feel like this is I'm sure it's expensive, but it seems like a pretty good idea.
Yeah, they're also using them evidently to combat school shootings. That they have drones there that can go to the spot where they think the shooter is.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
And I don't think they're like armed or anything like RoboCop, but they can say, yes, the shooter is in the cafeteria.
Right, right. And I think that that seems like a really natural. Now, I can also see the dystopian side of it too.
Sure.
Where down the road, either it's misused or down the road, it is armed.
Yeah.
that may be a step too far, but as it is now, just eyes on scene seems like a great idea.
Yeah. Want to hear a crazy story?
Yes.
Warning, got a little adult themes to it, although it's a police story right out of the police blotter. A woman tried to smuggle an unopened bottle of wine into jail. In the old hoo-ha.
Like one of those little, I hope it's one of those
little
ones. No, ma'am.
No. 12-inch full bottle of, hold on, I can tell you exactly what it was. A full bottle of Cupcake Vineyards Pinot Grigio.
That's not even a good one, man. Come on.
I didn't expect that thing.
You're going to go through all that trouble.
Seriously.
At least get a good bottle of wine.
And like the people drinking it too. It's like, you know.
Tastes funny.
What in the world?
Yeah. Yeah. Said that she was arrested for trespassing at a CVS.
Yep.
The cops cuffed her, patted her down for weapons and told her to get into the squad car. But she paused and said that she couldn't. The cop said, well, you don't have a choice. so she slowly and awkwardly maneuvered her way into the back seat. The cops noted her struggling to move, and they had her checked by a corrections officer at the jail. And yes, there is a full unopened, I guess she was going to open it with her butt, 12-inch, 2.5-pound bottle of Pinot Grigio.
We all have different priorities in life, I guess.
What?
It's not that much wine for all that trouble.
It's a nice take, too.
How many glasses is it in a standard bottle? Is it
four?
Like four?
Four, yeah. It's not that much.
Well, yeah, and wouldn't you want to bring something like a higher proof of alcohol? Like, are you really like, I'm enjoying...
I love that that's where your head is.
I'm just saying.
You are so focused on the alcohol.
Are you going to like...
If it were Johnny Walker Blue, I mean...
You're
going
to put your feet up and sip on a...
Yeah, especially the dessert wine, Pinot Grigio. Yeah. Like, no.
If you put your feet up, it'll shoot out. Is there anything you would do this with?
No.
To get something into anything?
No, but I would understand it more if there was like more bang for your buck, so to speak. Like if you could bring like absinthe in or something and then you're selling it to the other inmates, it's like, okay, there's probably a return on investment there. The cupcake Pinot Grigio, pass.
You are offending Jacob. I think he's in the business and he says, that's a fine wine. We sell it. Now you have a new approach, Jacob.
Point one.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the best idea is just don't do that.
The senior living community in Tennessee hosted an event this past weekend where residents at the senior living took part in a giant slip and slide day. Said everyone had a great time.
That sounds really dangerous.
Yeah, 12 people died. But you're an old folks home and...
Yeah, but the whole... Are you supposed to avoid slipping and falling when you're old?
I wonder if they have a modified way of doing it.
Oh, I bet they do.
Like sit and somebody pushes you or something as opposed to...
I hope
like
it's like that.
Running and sliding?
Mm-hmm.
Slip and slides are great, though. I would totally do that this weekend if I had one.
This may be, for me, since I have... gotten a hold of my laxative addiction. Shoppers say the viral fiber-filled gummy worms from Trader Joe's really makes you poop.
Huh.
And they smell like cake.
They smell like cake.
Not the poop, the worms.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that you said they're sugar-free.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that with a lot of sugar-free gummies.
So that happens?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
There's a move, it started in Massachusetts, where they want to make it a law that bars have to monitor your alcohol consumption and limit you to one drink every 30 minutes. And they're suggesting that they do it in a clever way where they put like a little modified egg timer at your table or in front of you at the bar. And every time they serve you a drink, they hit it and it starts anew. And you can't have another one until it goes off.
Hmm.
I feel like bartenders have enough going on that they, now they have to babysit you. Like, they already know to or are encouraged to cut you off if you're being sloppy and stupid. But the idea that, like, no, 30 minutes, what does your timer say? Like, that seems like an undue burden to put on the bartender.
And it's half off cupcake Pinot Grigio. So
what do you know?
Well, where did it come from?
Yeah, how did you get it here?
Don't ask.
Turns out we've been saying Adidas wrong all these decades.
Is it Adidas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you know that?
I've heard people in like other countries pronounce it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the Run DMC pronunciation.
Which is?
Adidas. My Adidas.
Didn't know that.
It's a great song.
Tallest cliff on Earth is 4,100-foot drop straight down on Mount Thor in northern Canada.
First of all, Mount Thor?
It's a little on the nose.
That's kind of great, man. I want to be there.
Americans are drinking less orange juice now than at any other time in the past, but we still drink way more than any other country in the world.
I like orange juice.
Yeah. Well, it's way less because it's way more expensive.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought orange juice was like way up or something like that.
It is.
Do you guys like pulp? No pulp?
Nope.
Some pulp?
Keep that crap out of there. I don't want to drink.
No pulp at all.
I don't want to drink any solid stuff. Drinks are for liquid only. That's why I don't want any of that, those bugs in my drinks either.
Bugs?
Yeah. The boba bugs. Bubble. Boogers.
Oh, yeah.
What about ice?
Yep, that's fine. It melts.
52% of people say that they do not rinse off before getting in a public pool. Like, take a shower.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I went swimming, I guess I didn't rinse off beforehand, but I had taken a shower, like, a couple hours earlier.
What kind of magoo takes a shower right before you get in the pool?
Well, and they didn't have showers there to do that.
Is there anything grosser in the world than a public pool shower? There's always a Band-Aid in it. Right? Just like terrible. Terrible.
Always a Band-Aid.
There is.
You're right. That's why it's funny.
There's nothing worse. Well, I guess the cupcake Pinot Grigio would be worse.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah.
All right, 217, going to take a quick break. Be right back. Happy Friday, DGS.
Make up your mind. Decide to walk with me around the lake tonight. Around the lake tonight, by my side.
Welcome back, DGS 223. Bernie Miklas coming up at 2:30, talking about some Cardinals baseball. Man, hope they get the game in tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge.
It's going to be kind of sketchy.
But at least in this case, you've got two more days to make up the game, unlike Arizona. Now they have to come back on July 23rd.
So if they're so happy about that.
Yeah, they were really happy about that.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Their closer, Paul Sewald, ripped the Cardinals after the game.
Yeah.
Said, hey, thanks, by the way, for making us have to come back here in July. And he was a little more than that. Like, whatever, bro.
So what's the deal with that? Was he right? Was he wrong?
We don't know, because the call for changing the time of a game is a combination of the home team and Major League Baseball. So what we don't know, and probably will never know, is who was the driving force behind not wanting to change it.
Yeah.
It could be that the Cardinals didn't want to change it. I mean, for a whole bunch of reasons. I mean, they could be, hey, one of the things is, like, Arizona's famous for not scheduling day games on getaway games on their home field. So in other words, most teams like the last game of a series to be a day game because it gives them more time to travel and have it. And so that's kind of a big deal to players all across the sport. Well, Arizona doesn't really do that unless they're also traveling that day. So if their opponent's traveling, well, they're still going to play a night game and they don't care. Well, all of a sudden now they don't get what they want and they're going to complain about it. Seems interesting.
Do they do that because it's hot?
Probably, but they also have a roof, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, they have a roof, but maybe they don't. Maybe they don't. But yes, I'm sure it's because of the heat or, you know, just whatever. But understanding it, there can also be gamesmanship in these things, right? So if you wanted to look at it from the more conspiratorial side of it, well, the Cards bullpen's been worn out. This gives every starter an extra day's rest. You know that you're in a tough spot right now with pitching because of those things. In a month, you might be better. You could also be in the same bad position. And now the Cardinals, like, this isn't a break for the Cards because they now have to play 20 consecutive days after the All-Star break. So they are also being taxed by pushing this off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a perfect thing. You can squint and be like, well, you know, their pitching's in a bad spot right now. Okay, you could squint and see that. But they're also making a difficult thing for themselves later on, too.
Yeah.
Nobody likes losing off days later in the season.
So if the game is rained out tonight, are we likely to have a doubleheader tomorrow?
I would think they would try to do it tomorrow because Sunday's going to be like 97. So I would think that if tonight's rained out, I can't imagine that those two teams would want to play a doubleheader on a hot day on a getaway day.
Yeah.
So I would assume it would be a doubleheader tomorrow.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll be, I don't know exactly, like, I know we'll find out from Dave in an hour. I don't know exactly what the expectation is tonight, but I know rain's possible everywhere.
Yeah. You know what I thought last night? I don't think I have ever in my life fallen asleep anywhere but my bed. You know how some people can just like on a plane, on a train, take a quick cat nap.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I've ever done it.
I'm like Cat in the Hat when it comes to places you've fallen asleep. On a plane, on a couch, on a chair, on the floor.
Of course.
I remember that book. You sleep in like hotels.
It's the cat.
Stuff.
It's the cat in the nap.
Yeah.
But that's a bed.
That's what I mean. Like,
okay.
I'm not. Yeah. I just mean that. I don't think. I just don't have the capacity to like. I'm going to get 10 minutes here.
Mm. Oh, I'm not a big fan of the 10 minute thing. But
what about when you were a kid? Did you ever fall asleep in the car?
Probably, but even that I don't have like any real memories of. Mm-hmm. I've just always been so.
So if you're on a road trip now and you're not driving, you won't be able to sleep.
No.
Oh. Man, I feel bad for that.
No. No.
That sucks.
And my dad, genetically and from being in World War II, could literally close his eyes and fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And my mom made coffee nervous. And guess who I took after? I'm not gonna lie.
On my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. 2:33. Time to check in with our pal Bernie Miklas. Hey, Bern.
Hello, Pally. How's everything on this Friday?
Good. How's everything with you?
Good, just grinding away, you know, getting another column done and listening to some music in my office, and I'm always in a good mood on Friday.
Springsteen?
No, actually, I've been mixing it up a little bit, going into the past a little, listening to some Death Cab for Cutie.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
You got a particular album you're listening to?
I'm listening to Plans right now.
That's
yeah.
a good one. That's a good one.
It is. It's great.
Bernie, so, I think we need to recruit Dave and Rach and Andrew for Turnstile in October.
Man. I'm trying to find a reason not to go. but I'll reveal this publicly. I was so excited by seeing they were coming here, but then I started thinking, well, you know, you're 67 years old, you weigh way too much, you need to be able to move around, you know, you don't want to go there and just be kind of like a big blob, so get your ass working on losing weight and walking and getting in shape, and then go see Turnstile.
There you go.
Hey,
how about that? Yeah. Is that the spirit or what?
Yeah,
it's a pretty good sized venue. It's going to be at the Grizzlies ballpark across the river.
Oh,
so
cool.
maybe we can get a box or something. I mean, I'll just go hang out.
We know
yeah,
people.
Try, yeah, let's go for it. Steve Moore will pay for that.
Yeah, I'll let him know that he's paying.
Yeah, so
he can come too. I mean, like he could join us.
Oh, absolutely. Steve's coming.
No, I listen to them constantly. I mean, you know, and I'm getting in their back catalog and yeah. And I can't lie either. You know, the fact that there's like some pretty big Baltimore roots there appeals to me, but mm-hmm. that's not the reason why I love their music.
They're
that's
fun.
Just an extra thing. Yeah. Yeah, they're great.
I want to ask you guys, I don't take in nearly as much national media as the two of you do. So I could just be talking out of my butt here. But it seems like Jordan Walker doesn't get the national love that he deserves.
I don't know how to answer that. I think the All-Star voting, it's really easy to use that, which is a really imperfect, really flawed process, but it always has been. So I don't get too worked up about it.
Right.
Because it belongs to the fans. And if fans, collectively speaking, want to make bad decisions, they've been given the right, and that's okay. It's their game. The All-Star game is their game, and really good players are going to find their way onto the squad anyway. But I am surprised that he slipped so far through the cracks in the voting. I mean, I don't know how, given the season that he was having, where he's on the cusp of being on that list of finalists, so to speak. He didn't have to move up that far.
Right.
He did, but he could have done it. But then all of a sudden, he drops a few more places. I didn't get that. So I don't know if it's because, you know, fans in other places are stuffing the ballot box, so to speak, for their guys. I don't know. I know the Cardinals have had some small crowds, and I know that voting's not done at the stadium. But when you're at the stadium, you're more aware of the necessity to vote and things like that. I don't know whether the Cardinals' attendance is at least some factor in this, because there's no groundswell. I don't know how to analyze it.
Do you guys like the fan voting for the All-Star game?
I'm okay with it. I mean, you know, because I would be a hypocrite. You know, as a guy growing up, when they first put the fan vote in, I was excited. I loved it. I voted every year. I didn't always vote for the right guy. You know, I was biased and all that. So I'd be kind of a dang hypocrite to like kind of take shots at fans for the way they vote now.
Yeah, I wouldn't take shots. I think the way you said it, Bernie, was correct. It's a game for the fans.
Right.
What I don't really like, I understand that the modern time is about, you know, voting on your phone and the tech and all that. But that, to me, skews it way more in favor of the big markets. Because it used to be a team like St. Louis or whatever, if you had strong attendance and a lot of the voting was happening in the ballpark, right, you would have a little bit more of a fair shot. It was about right. Who was coming to the ballpark, like the active fans. But now it just favors anybody. Like, look, like as an example, the guy that got the most votes in the American League, Dave, is a guy named Ernie Clement. Have you ever heard of Ernie Clement?
Heard the name, but I don't know him.
I mean, he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a phenomenal defensive player. He plays shortstop for the Blue Jays. Very popular, but Toronto's huge. He got the most votes, more than all of the other stars in the American League, because Toronto fans were super active, and it's a really big city. And it's always been the flaw that way, though. Like, it's always been somewhat slanted toward bigger markets. Yeah. So,
do you hear national guys talking about Jordan Walker much?
I think he's gotten some buzz, but I think in general, and maybe I'm being a homer, I think in general, the Cardinals haven't gotten enough attention, and I think that probably just also impacted Walker, because I bring this up a lot. I see, for example, the fact that The Athletic does not have a beat writer covering the Cardinals, who are a big story in Major League Baseball. But then I think, are they really a story that big outside of St. Louis? Because I see people kind of patting them on the head. I'm talking about national media. But they don't really get into this thing. Well, geez, this is a story. How are they doing this? And giving it a lot of attention. It's like, I better say something about the Cardinals type of thing. Yeah. But their heart's not in it. The Athletic doesn't have a beat writer. MLB.com removed their beat writer. And they're filling in with some people that are friends of mine and who are doing a good job. But the fact is, they took their full-time beat writer off the Cardinals. Yet I see smaller markets that don't draw fans, they still have beat writers assigned to them. I don't get it. I also see, as Wheels does, national writers who say things about the Cardinals, like, it's like, well, this is what they need at the trade deadline, or this is who they're going to trade, and they're absolutely clueless. They don't have a clue what's going on here. So yeah, that part's frustrating. A lot of it's frustrating for me because I am a member of the media, and I can't stand it when people are disconnected and kind of faking it, you know.
Yeah. And there was a lot more buzz about Walker about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it's partly the newness of what he was doing. And it slowed a little bit. I don't think that's the reason for it. But if it was kind of reversed, where he was kind of accelerating now, I'm sure there would be more of the conversation at the moment. Because that's kind of what's happening with Pete Crow Armstrong, right? Like, PCA early wasn't very good. There wasn't a lot of talk. I mean, he's been amazing for the last month.
And that's
generating a lot of, you know, buzz, that in his whole... incident.
Dude, I love you like a brother. I gotta totally disagree with you on this one. Pete Crow Armstrong has been hyped to the max every minute he's been in the major leagues after that initial thing when they first brought him up and he struggled. The media can't get enough of
fair.
PCA. Really?
That's a fair disagreement.
Yeah. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, yeah, I don't I'm not with you on that one, my brother.
It's all good.
Do you think he's vastly overrated as a player, Byrne?
I think there are times he is, but no, I can't, man. You look at what he's doing this season. I can't say that.
Yeah.
I can't say that. I think he's overrated at times where he's messing up, screwing up. He's, some flaws are on display, and people still act like he's the perfect ball player or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do think he's a hell of a player. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Guys, are we down to the point of it's just appearance by appearance with Liberatore?
Oh, gosh.
Like just waiting for the dominoes to fall?
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say anymore. I've kind of ranted and raved, and I've tried to be logical, and I've tried to apply case histories to this, and I'm at a loss to understand why. I'll just leave it at this, and wheels take over. The thing that befuddles me the most is why do they think keeping him in the rotation and having him take repeated beatings, his confidence isn't there, and his confidence gets smaller every single time. Why they think that's good for him, I have no idea.
I don't either. I'm with you. I think any move it is made, whether it's to the pen or to Memphis, and I would choose Memphis because I wouldn't want to just totally give up on starter right now.
Right.
And get right, and then we'll see what happens if you can come back. Like basically the Garmin plan. I mean, if it works for one player who's 26 with the same kind of major league service time, well, then why doesn't the same logic apply to a guy on the same team in the same situation? But there are two things about the Liberatore thing that are kind of bothering me. And one of them is too many people are fixated on June. Okay, he's been terrible this month. He's been bad since last June.
He has.
And that part shouldn't be left out. This is not just like a new slump. This has been happening for a calendar year, for 6 months, almost a full season's worth of starts. And Bernie, you and I and Matt, we talked about this early in the year when he had a 380 ERA. It was a house of cards because back then all the underlying stuff was like, it's the bad stuff's coming. He gives up way too much hard contact. He doesn't strike enough people out to make up for that. And he walks too many people. There were always signs that this was happening and going to happen. And it's been going on for a year.
Let me ask you guys this.
Sure.
And I understand your last name isn't DeWitt. If it were, you'd be my best friend. But your best guess, is it a matter of perhaps displaced hope that Libby's going to improve? Or is it more a discomfort with who might replace him?
I think it's both. I don't. First of all, one of the guys who was in the mix to be a potential replacement, Bryson Motz, is hurt now. I don't know what the extent of his injury is, so he's not a factor at the moment. They really like Chaim Bloom loves Quinn Matthews, but they also want to see him. Even though he's cut back on his walks down in Memphis, and his stuff is magnificent. His swing and miss stuff on several pitches. Like I was looking at the whiff rates, just. It makes you laugh. It's so good. But they just don't want, they don't want to bring him up here to walk, like just walk a bunch of people.
Right,
although
right.
They seem to be willing to live with that with some other guys who don't have his stuff, which is another contradiction. But for some reason they want to hold Dobbins in reserve. I don't know that I understand what's going on there, but let me answer it this way, because Ollie Marmol in effect told us what they're thinking, because he was kind of, and I don't mean this in a bad way. He was kind of throwing Andre Pallante in our face.
Yeah.
Because when I asked Liberatore, when I asked Ollie two questions, and I had another one I wanted to ask and didn't get a chance to, but I would ask him two questions about why you're sticking with Liberatore. And I said, I don't see a roadmap right now where you look at one or two things and say, okay, he's got that going for him. I said, I'm just being honest. I think that annoyed Ollie a little, and that's okay. I respect Ollie. But he started bringing up Pallante, and he started saying, well, last year at this time, everyone's ripping him, saying he couldn't pitch. He got to get rid of him. We got to do this, got to do that. And we thought we knew there was some stuff there. We knew we had to help him. We thought we could help him, and look at him now. And okay, point well taken. I'm not an unreasonable man, but I also think it's a little flimsy to think you're going to be able to do that over and over again with a guy who he does not have one pitch working well for him these days. Pallante was an easier fix, is my point.
Bern, tell us about Saliga before he lets you go for the weekend.
Oh, how you feel, brother?
Feeling good.
You feel good?
Feeling good.
Play so much bone, brother.
What's this one?
This is Funky Good Time. You wrote down Funk Yah. I thought it said Funk Yah by James Brown, which I'm now seeing it's a James Gang.
That's fine.
And this was, I thought, a nice compromise.
Yeah, it's fine.
Between what I saw and what I could find.
I don't know if anyone on the stream noticed this, because we forget we're on television, basically. I just straight up put my hand down the back of my pants on a break, and I'm just like, oh, okay. But Andrew, you, I think, were dancing, but we all thought you were typing, and you were doing it like this, and you looked like one of those cat memes when they're typing on a computer.
I was trying, I think, I do that sometimes when I'm, like, trying to think of something.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So if I'm sitting here, and I'm working stuff, and I've lost track of what I was going to do next, and I'm trying to remember, I might do, like...
It looked really funny.
Yeah, I can see it in the reflection. It looks very stupid.
I am working.
Yeah, it looks incredibly stupid to do this, to do this at work. And yeah, no, I keep forgetting. I also forget that we're, I'm on camera. And yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't care for it. I don't love...
you don't like Big Brother?
Yeah, I don't love being on camera for like 4 straight hours.
It is weird
at work. It is a very strange thing.
It's kind of crazy how they snuck that in and then didn't give us any more money.
Yeah, one of those very strange... There's a very strange thing in the radio industry that we've all been experiencing for years, which is... like you accept a job because you're like, it's going to be like this. And then within a couple of years, it's like completely different in all ways. And you don't really get a say. You just got to like roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say I don't love our streamers and everything. Like, it's fun to do the stream.
It is fun. It's just I was watching back because I've been making the little videos from the stream.
Yeah.
And I've been really trying to sit up straighter because I was watching one the other day. I'm like, oh my goodness.
You might want to take a look at Vic. He's pointing out that it's not 4 hours, it's 3.
Man, I know this is what he wants, and I shouldn't just give him what he wants, but he's out of here. He's okay.
Vic, you shouldn't have said that.
He's been far too bold.
We do not like it when
don't
you point out the
you
obvious
dare
truth.
Tell the truth.
Yeah,
he's been
not okay.
Don't put the truth in our face.
We don't like that. No.
He's been far too bold lately. And you know what? If you keep complaining, we'll take away another hour.
Look at Andrew.
I think we see what Andrew would be like as a prison warden.
Yeah. he's channeling the 1970s dad. I'll give you something to cry about. That's his other job they added. 70s dad.
Other job they added is...
You don't like that? I'll give you something to cry about.
In charge of disciplining adults on the stream.
You do seem to relish it.
Yeah, I do.
Who doesn't like a little power?
I'm not gonna lie. This is my first taste, and ooh, let me tell you what. It's pretty good.
We all just need to pray you don't get any more.
This tyranny thing, not bad. It is not bad.
Guess there's no time for a fast food news, right?
I could do one story. Right. Let's talk about our friends at Hardee's. They have just launched a new hot honey chicken lineup, and it's available through September 8th. So you can get the hot honey hand breaded chicken biscuit. Sounds delicious. You can also get the same thing in a chicken sandwich, and they have the hot honey tenders.
Never disappointed when I get Hardee's.
I agree. Nah. And those biscuits, oh, baby, they're good. They have the Star Spangled Biscuits right now, which are just star-shaped biscuits. They look like they have...
My girl loves biscuits.
Can you not?
So good.
Not a biscuit guy.
They look like they have red and blue sprinkles in the biscuits,
gotcha.
And then they're drizzled with the sweet icing that we love so much from the Hardee's. So.
Gotcha.
That's to celebrate America's 250th birthday.
Look how far we've come.
It is a very fitting celebration.
Brad, gonna take us high!